Tom Bresix is on the faculty of Salesianum School. He teaches Catholic Salesian identity and spirituality there. And he is participating in the Diocese of Wilmington's commemoration of the year of St. Paul by giving talks entitled St. Paul Made Easy across Delaware and Maryland's Eastern Shore. I'm very happy to welcome Tom to Catholic Forum this morning. Good morning, Tom.
Oh, good morning. It's great to be here.
Well, we're glad to have you. This is the year of St. Paul. Pope Benedict declared that, I guess, about 6 months ago. It actually started in June, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And will run until June of 2009. But in case our listeners aren't familiar with St. Paul, who was St. Paul? And why is he so important that we have a whole year dedicated to him?
St. Paul was the first to really put in writing and express in preaching, but ultimately what we have are the writings, what Jesus Christ meant in terms of salvation history and what it really means for us to follow him. Gospels will later pick up on his themes, and you'll find Pauline ideas bubbling through all the texts of the Gospels. Mm-hmm. So he's really the first to frame what Jesus Christ meant. And, of course, he had a little help with that encounter on the road to Damascus.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of really helped him get in the right direction.
Just tell us that story briefly, if you don't mind.
Well, you could find it in Acts chapter 9, and then he'll talk about it himself in Galatians chapter 1. And basically, he, is on the way to persecute Christians after the stoning of Stephen. And basically, on the way, he meets the risen Jesus, and Jesus says, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? And, right there he has that thing that, if he cannot be persecuting this church. This church is the body of Christ. And again, that kind of, Jesus Christ is his church. Mm-hmm. Jesus totally identifies with his church, the risen Jesus does. And that's very important for us to grasp today. And Paul, again, writes about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So these experiences that Paul had, his previous experiences beforehand led him to be pretty much handpicked by God to be this mission. He's a Roman citizen, which made him very able to get the word out to the Gentile world about who Jesus Christ was and what he meant and how he brought universal salvation to all by offering them the chance to enter God's family that was started with the chosen people of Israel.
Mm. So he was a persecutor of Christians. He was a convert in a very, very powerful way, as you just mentioned. Then he went on to preach and write throughout his life. And how did he die?
Well, he died later in Rome, beheading, because he was a Roman citizen. He would have been crucified if he wasn't a Roman citizen. So we have that historical marker that he's a Roman citizen because of the way he died.
Why do you find St. Paul so interesting?
Well, his message is so important for today. The new evangelization that Pope John Paul II called for, calls for, what Paul did. And it's recognizing the importance of a few things, that we are all called to live, live Jesus in a very Salesian way.
Mm-hmm.
We also need the Holy Spirit. Pauline writings very much emphasize the role of the Holy Spirit. And one thing that's very, important for us as Christians is participation in, the life of the Spirit. Sounds like a charismatic or sounds like, very Protestant thing, but it's actually a very Catholic thing.
Mm-hmm.
In baptism, we receive the Holy Spirit, and confirmation confirms the gifts of the Holy Spirit on us. And it's through the Holy Spirit that we will experience the resurrection. And sometimes, Luke's gospel presents a lot on the Holy Spirit, but Pauline writings do too. And I could just recommend one passage for people to read to really understand the importance of the Holy Spirit in the life of a Christian and a Catholic is Romans chapter 8, the whole chapter, but also particularly verse 11 is really, really important. So just, where the church is at, what we're trying to do, the new evangelization, Paul's just somebody that we really need to look at, how he was willing to sacrifice to get the word of Jesus Christ out, and to invite all people into the family. And that's really what our church has to do. And we're all members of the church, and we're all individually parts of that body of Christ. And therefore, we all have this mission to join the work of the church and follow the example of Paul. But that's only going to happen if we receive from the Holy Spirit and live up to our baptismal call that the Holy Spirit really energizes us to do.
Mm-hmm. What does St. Paul say about the Eucharist?
Well, that's a great question because, again, Paul really stands strong that the Eucharist is not just this symbol. It's really Jesus Christ. It's totally in line with what Catholics teach about the Eucharist. There was a problem in Corinth. They were eating and drinking and even getting drunk before the Eucharist. And you can read about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse around 17 to about 34, 35. But you'll find it. And what happens is they're getting drunk, and Paul says, hey, you got to examine your conscience, and if you eat and drink unworthily of the Eucharist, Eucharistic meal, you are, sinning against the body of Christ. Mm-hmm. And this is very, very, again, that's a very Catholic idea, examination of conscience. And, this is an important thing. It's not just a symbol. It's just not a nice idea. We're not just reliving or thinking about an event. Jesus is actually present to us through this meal. And so that's a very, very important thing, too, for Catholics to understand that, sometimes people like to spiritualize Paul and say, well, I can understand Paul, and if I have the right ideas, then, hey, I'm living according to what Paul wants. Well, Paul would say that you need to get to the Eucharistic table. And, we need to do that. And it's very important. My students, the Sallies, will ask me, why it's so important to go to Mass. And nothing's going to change, whether I'm there or not. That bread and wine is going to become the body of Christ. The same prayer is going to be said, and I'm not going to really affect much of the change. And one of the most important things I try to get across to them is there's that third grader, there's that fourth grader who looks at these high school kids as the finished product. And for older people, there's these college kids that are looking at you as the finished product. And they need to see you at church. When they see you at church and when you fellowship, as Paul will call this koinonia, and he'll talk about it in 1 Corinthians, that fellowship that happens at Mass is important, that we encourage each other to live the way Jesus wants us to live. And we experience the Holy Spirit and the energy of the Holy Spirit and ministry and everything that a church is supposed to be flows out of the power and the grace of that Eucharistic moment. And so we need to be there. And so that's a very important for people to understand this year of St. Paul.
In case you're just tuning in, you're listening to Catholic Forum. I'm Bob Krebs, and my guest this morning is Tom Resix, who is on the faculty at Salesianum. He teaches Catholic Salesian identity, and he is also part of the Diocese of Wilmington's commemoration of the year of St. Paul, and he gives talks entitled St. Paul Made Easy. So he is making St. Paul easy for us this morning. Tom, what does St. Paul say about Mary?
Well, that's a real interesting point because a lot of times Catholics, get a little worried about that because Protestants will point out a passage, Romans chapter 3, verse 23, about how all have sinned and all have fallen short of God's glory. And Protestants use that to say, well, Catholics can't believe in the teaching of the Immaculate Conception. That proves against it. Well, it's interesting because Paul uses the word pantos, meaning all, the Greek word. However, that means all in a very general sense, because later on, Paul will use all pantos have died. And yet, we know in the Bible that there were people like Enoch and Elijah who did not die. And so, it's a very general sense. Later on, in Romans chapter 4, Paul's going to talk about, blessed is the one who the Lord imputes no sin. And, of course, who else would fit that description better than Mary? Because Mary was blessed as you can be. And that is right there, and it supports, the concept or the teaching, so not the concept, but the teaching of the Immaculate Conception, which is very important. Understand that Mary was conceived without sin. So on December 8th, when we celebrate the Feast of the Immaculate Conception, that's what we're celebrating. Mm-hmm. And Paul's totally supportive of that.
Tom, what is St. Paul's central message to today's Catholics?
That we can enter the mind of Christ, that we can have the same attitude that Christ had. We could be other Christ to others. One of my favorite passages in Paul is the Philippians Canticle and Paul's letter, Philippians chapter 2, verse 6 to 11. And he says, put on the attitude of Christ. Christ emptied himself and he took the form of a slave. And because he did that, God highly exalted him. And we could follow the pattern of Jesus' life. And that's really the message. That's what we need to do. And in Salesian spirituality, we do that by saying a prayer called the Direction of Intention, where we give God the action and we ask him to help us deal with all the difficulties we meet. We offer all the goodness that we're going to do to God's glory, not to ours. And we also, whatever difficulties we experience, we're just going to offer that up to God and ask for his help. And it's amazing how much good comes from that, seeing that God, in the midst of our difficulties, is there with us, that Jesus has compassion and he suffered and he knows what, you know, our sufferings are like. And yet he, you know, redeems those sufferings. And so we can be most like Christ when we humiliate ourselves or humble ourselves, I would say more, to do good for others.
Mm-hmm.
And if we did that, and we did that in the name of Christ, I think our churches would be very vibrant, energetic. All of us are called to ministry. I guess that's the one other thing. A major theme when I taught scripture at Salesianum was that in the Pauline sense, if you're an adult Christian, baptized Christian, confirmed Christian, there's some form of, everyone is called to some form of ministry and service.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord, the Spirit gives to each individual some manifestation of the Holy Spirit to be used in some form of ministry and service, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12, it's around verses 4 and 7. But he's there. So every Catholic Christian really should be engaged in some form of ministry and service. It might be praying for one's children if one's a busy house, a mom or a dad, praying for their children at home. But there's also a dimension of being there at church and doing something. You don't have to serve every day, you don't have to serve every week, but you got to volunteer, and mm-hmm. we got to be doing things to represent the body of Christ in the world, because we are the physical presence of Christ in the world today. Catholics have that mission to be ambassadors for Christ, as Paul would say in 2 Corinthians chapter 5.
How can our listeners get more information, and how, you know, what's a good way to celebrate this year of St. Paul?
I'd say the first thing to do is, again, read Bishop Saltarelli's pastoral letter on the year of St. Paul. He does a really great job of framing, you know, who St. Paul was and what's the meaning and what are things we can do. So that would be first. The second thing I would say is, you know, read and go to the different talk. Read books. Again, Benedict, the 16th book, Jesus of Nazareth, is a great book. Our department is reading it right now at Salesianum. That's a good thing to do. You can also, you know, go to the different talks sponsored by the diocese. Because these people, myself included, have read many books. And you don't have to read all the books that we read if you go to our talk. So mm-hmm. we actually could save you some time, get to understand Paul that way. Now, once you've gone to some of those talks, and a real good place to go to different parishes, we also have Sacred at Salesianum every year. It's going to be February 28th, but it's always the last Saturday in February. And we offer over 20 different talks.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good way to, and there'll be some Pauline talks, no doubt, there at that conference. But no matter if you go to Sacred or if you go to your parish, once you've gone and have been, had a taste of what Pauline theology is all about, then it would probably be really good to start reading some of the letters of Paul. It might be tough for you to read some of those letters, though, without maybe going to some of these talks or the like.
Yeah, getting some basic background. Yeah.
That's right. And some direction on a theme. You know, you don't have to read all of Paul. You could focus on maybe the Holy Spirit's really important to you, this mm-hmm. idea. And you want to the idea of Eucharist or the idea of the Philippians canticle has really caught your interest. Whatever there's, or church is the body of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever it is, there's some aspect of Paul that maybe you need at this moment to deal with whatever, you know, the Holy Spirit's doing in your life. And so go to one of those talks and maybe then focus on certain aspects of Paul's letters that help you.
Great advice. Tom Gressix, the Theology Department Chair at Salesianum School, thanks so much for being with us today on Catholic Forum.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Yeah.